Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is John. And thank you for joining me in my study of Romans chapter 8. And I do archive all my Bible studies. And if you decide to join in with me, I make these studies about 15 minutes long, and currently I'm doing that about once a week, but I cover a chapter at a time, and we can learn together if you decide to join me in this Bible. So here we go, Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnal mind is enmity against God, and it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So let me cover those first eight verses. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you've called him Lord. This is how you do it. Jesus, I believe that you are Lord of my life. I believe, or I confess you as being Lord of my life. And I believe that that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe that he was crucified for me. And when he rose from the dead, I rose into newness of life with him. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's how you're born again. So now you're spiritually minded, because your carnal mind, the old person that you once were, has been put to death by the cross of Christ. So our minds are now set on the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. Because the things of the flesh, or the old man, or old ways, have been put to death. This is what we call the born-again experience. Jesus Christ condemned our sin. It's condemned. And our sin abides in what is called the flesh, the carnal mind. Not the spiritual, but the carnal mind. Now, you might hear some grace people say that we're not under law. Truth of the matter is that we are under law. We're under the law of the Spirit of life. We're not under the law of sin. We're not under any law except where we are crucified with Christ and we are resurrected with Christ. And because we're resurrected with Christ, because we're crucified with Christ, now we have new life. And there is no condemnation. There is no sentence upon us, because Christ's crucifixion for sin and his resurrection into newness of life for us is the final word. So we can't be condemned. Okay, now on to verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we're identified with Christ. We've been raised into newness of life. We no longer have to fear this flesh of ours, the old man's ways, which includes self-efforts, by the way, because that's what the old man did. He exerted self-effort and manipulated everybody around him in order to survive. That way of life is dead. So we're no longer a debtor to that way of life. We are a debtor to Christ crucified and resurrected for us. And by that method, life is brought into our body. Christ is in us, and the sin that was in us or even rises up in us at this time is dead. It's dead because Jesus was crucified for it. So we're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. Our life is in the Spirit. The flesh, the old man's way, independent of God, manipulative survival artist, is an enemy of God. He cannot be subjected. So our source of life does not come from ourselves. Our source of life comes from God. And that is what it means to be spiritually minded. Okay, down to verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Crucified and resurrected is what we're talking about here. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. So here's what is being said here. Because Adam fell, all of creation fell with Adam. It's subject to that fall. to the ways of sin. But now, man has been redeemed. We've been risen. We've resurrected with Christ. So, in this process, this reverse process, creation and man moan and groan their way into complete and utter change, into a glorified state. And it's a process. It's a process that takes place and will be completed at some point. Until then, all God's children and all creation groans. Verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but the hope that is seen is not, that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. So, we don't have the words to express what we're going through, and even some of our most difficult times, the Spirit itself prays for us, and Jesus Christ himself prays for us, and that'll show later on in this passage. Down to verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, that's us, you're predestined. If you've asked Christ into your heart, you've confessed him as Lord, you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, you are the predestined. Okay. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So here we have the Holy Spirit making intercession for us and Jesus making intercession for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you for joining me in the Bible study today. And until next time, may God bless you.